This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John Jackson in the house with us here. That's right, because of the three-day weekend, we're kicking things off on a Tuesday, which is great because after a three-day weekend, I'm kind of like, man, I got to sleep in a little bit here. Why don't we just have John Jackson just bail us out? John, you want to stick around for the next 2 hours instead of just one today? What do you think?
I'll work for you, brother.
Well, in that case, I didn't have time to go get a good cup of coffee downstairs. I just got the crappy coffee out of the fridge here. So, we'll see in 5 minutes. 10 minutes. I'll give you 10 minutes.
There's a Starbucks down on the first floor, right?
No, Starbucks.
No Starbucks? No.
City Brew, which is better than a woke Starbucks.
Actually, that's what I have right here, City Brew.
There you go. All right. Well, we were going to make you do push-ups if you had Starbucks then. So, although I got to say, Starbucks was good to me when I was in Afghanistan. Not big Starbucks, but I was on an embedded training team with a bunch of incredible guys out of Nevada, and this was over 10 years ago now, of course, but Starbucks had a regional roaster in I think Reno, Nevada, and we had so many great supporters of our troops in the state of Nevada that they send us an entire box of whole bean coffee from the regional roaster in Reno, and we had the best coffee shop in eastern Afghanistan.
Wow. I mean,
the Brits would drop in there, the Rangers would drop in and come have coffee with a bunch of National Guard guys on our little hillside in Afghanistan. If I would have known you were there at the same time, I would have invited you over, you know.
You talk about the Brits. I've never seen anything like these guys could do. And you don't have that little downtime, say, during an op. These guys would pull out their little setup for tea. And the competition between these are SAS, SBS, tier one level operators.
Yeah.
But the competition between them was to see who could set up and have a cup of tea the quickest.
Yeah. Well, actually, a friend of mine, by the way, shout out to Tim Tyler out in Georgia. He was in Afghanistan for several years, and I'd always have tea with him and the Brits at this little library in Gardez, Afghanistan, but he just got his master's from Harvard. Somehow the woke folks at Harvard allowed him to slip through and get a master's degree. But anyway, we were hanging out with the Brits drinking tea one time, and they had this game where you'd have a deck of cards, and you'd have a card in front of you. You would lick the card and then stick it to your forehead to where everybody else saw the card. And anyway, whoever had the worst card had to go get the tea for everybody and then deliver all the tea for everybody. So, but now we got John Jackson to deliver coffee and tea for us, so we don't even need to play card games, you know.
I was never so impressed with operators like I was with those Brits. I mean, you see a lot of the tier one guys who, can have attitudes and all that, but these guys were not only, the top of the top, tip of the spear, but just humble, cool, respectful guys, lots of fun. I mean, total badasses, but really chill at the same time.
Well, probably because they played a lot of rugby.
Oh, yeah.
Probably. I was talking with a couple of friends yesterday after the Memorial Day ceremonies, and they said, oh, yeah, you get these people. They think because they've done all these martial arts training that they're the toughest guy in the room. Yeah, tell you what, don't walk into that bar. If you see a guy with a hockey shirt on or a rugby shirt,
prepare to take a lick.
And maybe not keep on ticking either.
Here's your Montana news. A Bozeman man barricaded himself in his residence against the police, then apparently shot himself. Now, this confrontation began late Saturday night with a call to police about domestic violence at the man's home. He refused to cooperate with officers when they arrived, and he barricaded himself inside. KBZK reports that 40 minutes into the standoff, police heard a single gunshot, and the surrounding neighbors were safely evacuated. Upon entry, officers found the body of the man with a suspected self-inflicted bullet wound. Identity has not been released. The grandmother of a 12-year-old boy in West Yellowstone pled guilty to her involvement in his abuse and murder. Patricia Batts is one of five people charged in the February 2020 torture and death of Alex Hurley. KBZK reports Batts pled guilty to deliberate homicide, criminal child endangerment, and tampering with a witness or informant. The police...
Call 800-826-9895. That's 800-826-9895. 800-826-9895. Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into big news today. I thought about joking around for a few more minutes here. We got the Joker from Twitter, John Jackson, at Private Joker US, with us every Tuesday, taking your phone calls as well, 406-294-0970. John, I was going to joke a little bit more because I swear that our liberal friends were drunk on Friday night, drunk tweeting. I sent out, you know, just a Memorial Day tweet, kind of a Memorial Day weekend tribute, and these liberals were even triggered by that. It's like, wow, you can't even put aside your radical left-wing politics on Memorial Day weekend, but we'll save that one for later in the hour. Let's get to the debt deal. This was the big news that was announced over the Memorial Day weekend. Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy says they have now come up with a debt ceiling deal in principle with Joe Biden. And Speaker of the House, former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, is praising this. He says Republicans win on the debt ceiling. He's saying this is just a first step. But he's basically saying, hey, this is the first time in decades that Republicans have actually gotten something out of a debt ceiling negotiation. They've never gotten anything out of these debt ceiling negotiations. But I still think the question remains, why didn't they all just stay united and support the deal they just passed a few weeks ago?
Well, it gives me no pleasure to say it, but you know, I said this on your program about 3 weeks ago. I said the Republicans are going to cave. And the question is, what handful of magic beans are they going to sell out for? And now we know. We found it out. They did this over Memorial Day weekend, and they just got the text out, I believe, yesterday or the day before. And now we see. And you know, we can get into the details of it in a second, and budgets are really, really complex, as you know. But all you have to know about this deal, Aaron, is that Biden, the Democrats, and the mainstream media are all for it. They are cheerleading it. They are whipping their votes to vote for it. Now, what does that tell you? You know the history of these people. If this took one significant thing away from their budget, away from their agenda, they would be screeching, squealing like stuck pigs.
Well, I haven't heard all the Democrats are on board with this yet. I mean, I don't think we've still gotten full reactions from everybody over the weekend. But what we have heard already is Congressman Matt Rosendale from the Eastern District in Montana came out swinging. He says the D.C. swamp has proposed the largest debt ceiling increase in our nation's history, $4 trillion. And then the criticism that he and folks like Congressman Chip Roy out of Texas, you know, a handful of Freedom Caucus conservatives are making is that it doesn't do a full elimination of the 87,000 IRS agents. It doesn't freeze spending. On the flip side, though, you've got outlets like Breitbart News reporting that this is the largest deficit reduction bill in history, with the official estimates showing that the deal cuts more than $2.1 trillion in spending. I don't know if cut is the right word to use there. It's $2.1 trillion reduction in spending compared to what the Democrats are spending, but that doesn't make it necessarily a budget cut. It just simply brings us back to 2022 levels.
Well, and I'll run it down to you. All of the big, big financial guys on Twitter, these guys, they're not partisan in any way. They're just financial guys. They are calling BS on this. Rand Paul, Chip Roy, Ron DeSantis, Russ Voigt, who was Trump's OMB director. And then finally this morning, I see Nancy Mace, the representative from South Carolina, who herself is a rhino.
Very moderate, yeah.
A rhino, should be right in bed with McCarthy. She writes a 7-paragraph tweet on this saying this is lousy, this is terrible. She is a no.
And she's one of the more moderate Republicans.
Yep.
So that's the question. So Matt in Billings, one of our great listeners, he raised a great question earlier this morning, which I think is the question, which is, okay, I think we all can agree that the deal that the House Republicans passed, that they united around just a few weeks ago, I'm trying to think of the day that bill passed, to be specific, but you know, moderate Republicans, more conservative Republicans in the House, they stayed united and they passed a deal that lowered spending, that continued to fund veterans, continued to fund the military, and avoided default on the debt. The Democrats were too afraid to negotiate, and And it seemed like, even based on CNN polls, the American people agree with the Republican position and the Republican bill that just planned. So, okay, I get it if you're Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy, and, you know, you've only got, you know, a tiny, slim majority in the House. And if you lose 5-6 moderate Republicans, okay, you're out. Okay, well, who did they not have on board that they had on board 3 weeks ago? That's what I think we, the American people, need to know, because we need to hear, we need a justification for why they're not standing firm with the package that already passed and got approved by the House of Representatives.
A macro point on this, and this is one of those points where this is all you really have to know about what went on here, is that what have we screamed about for the last couple of years is this massive COVID inflationary spending by our government. What does this deal do? It locks in the 2022 COVID spending for the next 2 years, punts it, poof, right beyond the 2024 election, which plays right into Biden's hands.
But if we don't get this deal, then what do we get?
Shut it down. Shut it down. Like you've been pointing out all morning, we already passed the bill. It's on him now. You don't want to come to the table and make real cuts? We'll shut it down. But see, they knew already. They knew already he wasn't prepared. McCarthy wasn't prepared to do that.
So, yes, former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich, I do appreciate the point he made, though, which is, hey, at least Republicans are finally getting something out of these debt ceiling negotiations, because before it was always
juicy. This is the gold standard of chicken sandwiches.
Order the original Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich on the Chick-fil-A app today. Real customers paid for their testimonials.
It's not too early to talk to your child about drinking. For tips on what to say, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. That's underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. This message brought to you by SAMHSA and this station.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
All right, let's jump right into the phone lines here. We've got John Jackson in studio with us. The phone number for you, 406-294-0970. Or you can also send us a quick message on our Montana Talks app. We've got Francis in Big Fork first up, listening to KJJR. Great to hear from you, Francis.
Yes, well, on this new deal, I think it's so bad that they didn't give the military more money. You know, they kind of left them hanging. You know, with all this Chinese stuff moving in. You know, we're getting a lot of young men come moving in through the border, and we don't know who these guys are. There's enough of them, they could form their own army against us.
Yeah, I know there is more spending for the military in even this debt deal and in the package that was passed by the House Republicans, but I know folks like Senator Lindsey Graham out of South Carolina, that's one of his criticisms of this, is that there's not enough support for the DOD in this debt ceiling deal right now. So you would agree with his argument there?
Yes, on that part, yes. But we had to do something, I know that. But we should have Matt Rosendale on and see what he, you know, he was right there, so find out what is really not good in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got some of what he's saying via Twitter. No full elimination of 87,000 IRS agents. No elimination.
Yeah, it seems like it was just short-term stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
Or it's partial, like on the IRS agents in particular. Yeah, Francis, thanks for the call. John Jackson, you and I were actually talking about the IRS agents during the break. Okay, so one of the things former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, is touting here is about the fact that this new deal does slash funding for Biden's new IRS agents and eliminates the total fiscal year 2023 staffing funding request for new agents. Okay, so he's saying that it eliminates it for 2023. Okay, well, that's good, but still, the overall total budget request was initially $80 billion for the 87,000 agents. They're still going to get over $70 billion of that money, even under this deal. So that's still a lot of money that could still fund a lot of agents. I guess my question would be, if they successfully have blocked it for 2023, will follow on budget negotiations, then be able to be used to block it in 2024 and beyond.
Total crock of Adam Schiff right there. Total crock of Adam Schiff. What, here's the number. Out of the $80 billion, you know what these stellar negotiators did here? You know how much they got out of that? They got $1.4 billion out of $80 billion to the IRS cut out of this deal. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean the IRS agents, the IRS are not going to get back massagers for their G-rides? They're going to have to cut that little portion? Give me a stinking break. I mean, they got. And the other thing they said is that deal you're talking about for 2023, they can go ahead and spend money right now. They could take this money and hire so many people right now, spend that money, you know, in FY23.
Yeah, according to the New York Post, this is from Miranda Devine. She says that in the debt ceiling deal outlined Sunday and due to be inked later this week, that the lion's share of the extra IRS funding will remain, preserving $78.1 billion of the $80 billion.
There it is.
And again, it goes back to, I think the big question is here, because I really respect former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich's perspective here, because he's a guy who actually delivered. And one of the criticisms, the big criticisms of Republicans in Congress over the past three decades, is that they just constantly get rolled by the Democrats, and we have all these debt ceiling deadline votes, and we never get anything out of it. I mean, I think, you know, some of the stuff that he's talking about here is that we see a rollback of non-defense discretionary spending to FY 2022 levels. Now, that's still post-COVID spending levels, but still, it's still rolling back. And again, the Democrats still control the Senate. The Democrats still control the White House here. It limits top-line federal spending to 1% annual growth for the next 6 years. But the point that Gingrich made is hey, in 94, the Contract for America conservatives, you know, we didn't just do everything all in one shot. We started chipping away at it step by step by step. So he's saying that this is just an important first step. But again, even still, it goes back to this bigger question that Matt and Billings raised, which is they already passed their important first step weeks ago. And it was a good plan, spending reduction overall, avoiding a default of the debt. So why did they break from that plan? Why did they feel like they had to be the ones to compromise here?
I saw a really good pundit on Twitter make the point that I think is dead on. He said somehow McCarthy managed to make this worse than if he'd actually done nothing. Really, I would take doing nothing over this. Just agree to the debt, you know, raise the debt limit, and then fight on the next budget. Fight on the next budget in September, October. Fight on that. Then get your spending down. Fight there. Threaten to shut down the government. This just locks in what they want to do for the next 2 years right through the election.
Yeah, but by just doing nothing, everything else is going to go into effect. So you're still you don't get the NEPA reforms, which Speaker Gingrich is calling the first significant reform to environmental policy since 1982. You don't claw back any of the COVID-19 unspent funds, including $400 million, from the U.S. CDC's global health, fund that would have sent taxpayer money to China. So all that money still will be spent. You'll basically get nothing, you'll get all of this other garbage by doing nothing now, because you can still have those budget fights down the road, even with this deal.
Well, see, and once again, the $400 million, that's the magic beans. Right, these little bitty magic beans that they're touting right here—the $1.4 billion out of the $80 billion to the IRS, this $400 million—that's the magic beans that add up to nothing. It's why the Democrats love this. It's why Biden is bragging about it.
Well, I also think there's a lot of House Republicans who don't want to be faced with debt ceiling vote after debt ceiling vote after debt ceiling vote,
yep.
And that's why. that's why they want to get the debt ceiling votes off the table. I mean, I think that's frankly what they're doing here. I do think this deal, we do get some things out of this deal, but which in my view is better than just doing nothing and just voting for another hike in the debt ceiling without Republicans getting anything out of the deal, because that's what's been happening for the past three decades. Republicans have now negotiated something. The question is, why didn't they negotiate for more, including the plan that they just passed a few weeks ago?
Well, you hit it right there on the head. Exactly. That's exactly what's going on here. McCarthy and 80% of the people we sent up there do not want to fight. They want to keep like we've done for 20, 30 years, kicking that can down the road.
I disagree. I just think he's got, 222 cats that he has to herd, and you lose four or five here, you lose four or five there, you don't have the votes, you don't have a deal. And so my question is, who broke? Who buckled? Whose knees buckled? I don't think McCarthy's knees buckled. I think McCarthy's just counting the votes and saying, I need enough votes to get something across the finish line that avoids a default on the debt. So whose knees buckled? Because just like you can lose five or six Freedom Caucus conservatives over here because of A, B, C, and D, you can lose five or six moderate Republicans over here because of A, B, C, and D. And unfortunately, I mean, I think it's a good news, bad news thing. The good news is that conservatives and Republicans actually have backbones and actually stand on their own two feet, and it's just not the follow dear leader party that the Democrat Party is, where they will follow the dear leader right off the cliff, literally and figuratively.
Well, you talk about losing people. They got everybody in. They got everybody in and passed this deal.
But did they keep them?
But then he went in and gave it all away. They passed this deal.
It maybe if that's what happened, but we don't know that yet. That's what we need to find out, I think, in the days ahead is because we already had a deal, but again, the Senate still needs to have a say, and the White House ultimately signs off it one way or the other. So what made McCarthy think that they needed to accept this new deal compared to the one that they already passed?
Because they're going to send out their people like Gingrich and try to, wave this magic wand and throw their little smoke and say, look, what a great deal we got here. Look at this handful of magic beans we got here. And everybody's going to say, oh, yeah, good job. Y'all fought this time. Y'all really got some concessions when you got played.
Okay, but what's Chip Roy and the other guys going to deliver on? How many votes do they have? I mean, we saw this with the whole Speaker of the House debate, which is, okay, guys, you don't like McCarthy for Speaker. Who's your alternative? And you notice they're not calling for McCarthy's head right now either. I think they're taking a good principled approach in objecting to this new plan, especially when House Republicans already passed a plan, but they're not calling for Speaker McCarthy's head over this either. And so, I think that's because they know that the cats that need to be herded to ultimately, get something done here. But again, Speaker Gingrich delivered in the 1990s. We need to start delivering again like we did in the 1990s, with House Republicans. And so the question is, are we in a better negotiating position 3 months from now than we are right now? Do we do what Chip Roy has suggested, which is pull the IRS off the table, pull the unused COVID funds? That gives Janet Yellen a little bit more time to not meet this debt deadline on June 5th. And then that gives Republicans more time to negotiate on the better deal that they already passed.
Well, see, I was critical, if you remember back, with that whole Speaker fight. And, we had Rosendale and Gates and some of these people who were, really, it looked like at the time they were gumming up the process and kind of embarrassing us and everything. But by God, Aaron, they were right. They were dead on right. And you had heard McCarthy for a couple of years always saying the right things when he was in the minority. And he really was. And I was like, hey, the guy's saying the right things. He's supporting Trump. Let's give him a chance. They knew him. Knew him better than we did.
But yet McCarthy has, whether you like this deal or not, this is still more than Republican speakers have delivered in the past three decades. So again, what's the alternative? And the rules fight was about, well, we want, individual members to be able to step up and stop things and question things. Okay, well, three or four members can step up and stop things, including the deal that was just passed three or four weeks ago. Unfortunately.
Stop it.
All right. Hey, more to follow. This is great. 294-0970, the number for you if you want to jump in.
Dan Bongino.
Chicago audience, I feel bad for you listening to this show. You're probably a sane person and a conservative or a libertarian or even a not crazy Democrat. Lightfoot threw it away. Johnson's going to make it worse. You had this riot in Chicago this weekend. He's talking about how the kids are starved of opportunity. You know what they should be starved of? Freedom. Put their asses in a jail. That's how you get rid of this stuff.
Weekdays 10 to 1 right here on News Talk.
The Dan Bongino Show.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. John, you and I had so much fun talking after Francis and Big Fork's call there. It was like, man, we forgot we got the mighty human Z on the phone lines here. So sorry, Z, we just talked right over you and then held you through the break. But I think he's still with us. Z, are you still there?
Hey, good morning. No, that was awesome. Yeah, I learned more being on hold listening to you two guys. The debate is fantastic today. One point I wanted to bring up, though, is that, you know, I think in this case we may have Republicans failing up. Rush Limbaugh used to say that the Democrats reward those who fail and fail up. I had misgivings about McCarthy as a speaker. Problem is here is that, you know, we have to get out in front of this issue kind of mentality. And they gave away this position of strength, as John was saying. I also think, too, that, you know, hey, they had an opportunity for, you know, we want to bring DOJ, we want to rein in DOJ. And how do you do that? You do that with budget. And, you know, now all of this is gone. So from my perspective, I think this is a really, really big loss. But, you know, like you're saying, though, there's, hey, we're whittling away at some of these things in some respects. So I flip-flop on this issue, but listening to you two guys, I learned a lot this morning.
Hey, well, that's cool to hear. Yeah, no. Yeah, thanks for that. No, I'm kind of with you, and I think I got a message from Tim and Savage earlier this morning as well, and you know, because our various listeners different takes on this, and it's you know, it's great when we agree, but it's also fun when we disagree and talk these things through. But yeah, no, I'm with you where it's like, okay, like, hey, this deal is obviously better than Republicans have ever been able to try to negotiate in the past three decades when it comes to these debt ceiling deadlines. But nonetheless, like guys, you were on the goal line a month ago. What the heck? So, yeah, John Jackson, in fact, the initial thought that comes to mind is, you know, our friend Travis Norby was the Memorial Day speaker yesterday, and he was talking about when his brigade got shipped straight from Korea right into Iraq, and he's like, man, we had broken equipment. And it's like, and this is kind of the Republican Party right now is they have gone to war with still some broken equipment, and so they've got to rebuild the Republican Party even still over the next 2 to 4 years in terms of getting better candidates in these seats as a whole, because when you got the Mitt Romneys of the world and these weak-kneed Republicans, well, if, you know, as Rumsfeld didn't so poignantly put it, but it was a point nonetheless. You go to war with the army that you got. That's kind of where Speaker McCarthy is right now. My perspective is that you've got such a slim majority in the House. But again, why can't they just do the deal they passed a month ago?
Exactly. And you notice that Democrats, we've been saying this for years, Democrats march in lockstep. Go march yourself back to 2010 when Obama told them all that he marched the Democrat House off the cliff for Obamacare. He knew they were going to lose 30, 40, 50 seats. People were losing their jobs over this, but you know what? They were told, you better do it because the alternative will be worse for you if you don't. We allow these moderate squish Mitt Romney saboteurs in our midst. They do not.
And in the United States Senate, I mean, there's even more of a challenge there. That's why it's, you know, it's up to Senator Steve Daines, who's the chair of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, to get the right candidates to win these Senate races coming up in 2024 to get a real Republican majority in there. I had an email earlier from Nancy in Roundup, and she says that the debt ceiling is a win. This deal is a win for Republicans. She says Kevin McCarthy pulled it off. She was listening in on Hugh Hewitt's program earlier this morning, and I know Hugh Hewitt's show airs live on KJJR here in the earlier morning hours of the program as well. Let's see. Tim in Billings says the scoreboard now reads Uniparty $1 trillion, U.S. taxpayer zero. And Terry in Chandler, Arizona messaged us on the Montana Talks app saying, I agree, John, shut it down, was what Terry in Chandler had to say. You know, what you were just saying about Obama marching the Democrats off the cliff with Obamacare and more, and how the Democrats would just follow him right off the cliff. It reminded me, one of the big Montana news stories that I saw over the weekend is Governor Greg Gianforte has been vetoing various pieces of legislation that have come out of Helena. Some of them are spending-related items. He's calling it unnecessary pork in one circumstance. Lawmakers are balking at some of the vetoes. Democrats are worried that he's going to veto some additional pieces of legislation that are sitting on his desk right now. But what I find interesting about it is the Democrats are having a field day. Oh, these Republican lawmakers might override the governor's veto. Well, that's because the Republicans don't do what you guys do, which is they actually think for themselves. And so my point is this, is even if these Republican legislators vote to override a veto of Governor Greg Gianforte, so that doesn't, you know, that's not, the Democrats are acting like, oh, this will make Governor Gianforte look bad if the lawmakers override his veto. No, it won't. I think people will have respect for the lawmakers for voting what they felt was important for their constituents, and they'll have respect for Governor Greg Gianforte, you know, vetoing what he saw as unnecessary spending. And they'll have a mutual respect for both of them compared to Montana Democrats, which voted in support of infrastructure spending for eastern Montana. This was several years ago under a Democrat governor, but they refused to override the Democrat governor, even though it was something very important to their own districts. They refused to override a Democrat governor because they won't stand up to a leader in their own party. They do not have the guts, the courage to do so.
Well, you see these nutbags, these left-wing nutbags on Twitter. And that's the thing that Rush Limbaugh said for 30 years, is there is no such thing as a moderate Democrat. And you're seeing that right here in Montana. You see all these people like you're talking about making these, oh, this is going to be look so bad for Governor Greg Gianforte and blah, blah, blah. Dude, nobody is paying attention to any of that crap other than you and about 15 of your blue-haired followers. I mean, nobody cares.
And the Lee newspaper's Capitol reporters. In Helena, yeah. Speaking of the wackos on Twitter, and they're no longer being moderate Democrats, I used to think Robin Driscoll, so she's the chair of the Montana Democrat Party, former Yellowstone County Commissioner, and I used to think, hey, you know what, she's one of the nicer Democrats. She's probably somebody you could have a conversation with. She's probably not as wacko as the Zooies of Missoula crowd. But then everything I've seen out of the Montana Democrat Party is she's been the chair of the Montana Democrat Party. It's like, wow, I guess she is. I guess the masks have really come off. It's kind of like former Democrat Lieutenant Governor Mike Cooney. You know, Mike Cooney was always the nice guy, and you may not agree with his policies, but he was the nice guy. He'd been in office since the 1960s. Boy, the mask really came off of that guy, you know, with COVID-19 and, you know, making up fake stories about freezer morgues outside of, you know, freezer morgue trucks outside the hospital in Helena. But Robin Driscoll, so Friday night, were all these liberal Democrats drunk tweeting on Friday night? I sent out a tweet just recognizing Memorial Day and all the men and women, you know, who gave their lives for this country. And I was just making the point that there's all these songs on the radio that talk about how Prince would die for you and Bruno Mars would catch a grenade for you. I said, but these men and women actually did. We don't know if these artists would or would not actually die for you, but these men and women we remember on Memorial Day actually did die for you. And these liberals on Twitter, including Robin Driscoll, are mocking that tweet. And I'm like, wow, you guys can't even put it for arrest on Memorial Day weekend? Like, seriously, that triggered you guys? So again, to that point, are there any moderate Democrats left?
No, and what they do, the candidates, say a Democrat candidate, how they campaign is as a moderate. Okay, that's how they campaign to the whole electorate. But behind the scenes, they're telling all their folks, you know, I'm really with you guys. I'm really with the LGBT community. You know, I'm really a nutbag just like you guys. And that's who they really are. On the other hand, Republicans do the exact opposite. They campaign as strong, you know, fiscal conservative, Trump supporting type of folks. Meanwhile, they're whispering under the hey, Kevin McCarthy, I'm with you, buddy. Don't worry about it. You know, I'm down with you. I'm good. You know,
that's an interesting analogy you make. That isn't it interesting that being open about conservatism is the popular view to take, right? And the Democrats know it, and the Republicans know it. But
they're getting them to follow through with that is, God, it's like dragging a mule down the field. I mean,
hey, there's a new judge that has been selected to serve on the 13th Judicial District Court in Yellowstone County. Remember Judge Mike Moses? Radical leftist Judge Mike Moses. You're out of here. You're out. That's one of my favorite GIFs that you share on Twitter.
You are out of here.
The umpire. So Moses is on his way out. Great new judge selected to replace him. We'll tell you about that next.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The importance of a strong America is critical to every man, woman, and child, not only in this country, but around the world. Because we are the shining city on a hill. We are the light in what is a very brutal, very dark, in many places, very evil world. There's a lot of evil that goes on in the world. You don't believe me? Go back to the last century. About 100 million human souls killed. Communism, Mao, China, Stalin, the former Soviet Union, the killing fields in Cambodia, Nazism, fascism, Imperial Japan. You get the point? Evil exists all around the globe. The force that has pushed back evil more than any other one force is us, the United States of America.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Let's face it, talking about life insurance is never easy. But after we watched a close friend lose her husband with no insurance, we decided that wasn't going to happen to our family.
Yeah, but shopping for life insurance can be almost as difficult as talking about it.
But then we heard about Ethos Life Insurance. They're a new kind of life insurance, built for people on a busy schedule who don't have time for unnecessary doctor's visits, fine print, or hidden fees. You know, who want to keep it simple.
I couldn't believe how easy it was. We answered a few basic questions, and within minutes, we had an estimate of what it would cost and what sort of policy made sense for us.
I never imagined a life insurance could be so affordable.
And accessible.
The peace of mind knowing that our future is secure, it just removes a lot of the fear around getting older and...
Yeah, the unexpected.
I'm glad we talked about it.
I'm glad we went with ethoslife.com.
Go to ethoslife.com now for your free estimate. That's ethoslife.com. ethoslife.com.
Securing America.
There is debate within the Republican Party about how effective the debt ceiling deal is in funding the military. Speaker Kevin McCarthy said Sunday,
"You fully fund defense."
However, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina said that's not the case because President Biden's budget calls for an increase in defense spending that is below the inflation rate.
The Biden defense budget was a joke before, and if we adopt it as Republicans, we will be doing a great disservice to the party of Ronald Reagan.
Graham specifically pointed to the number of U.S. naval ships slated to fall from 298 to 291, while China will be increasing its fleet to more than 300 vessels. Florida Republican Congressman Michael Waltz, a former Green Beret, agreed, also citing the threat posed by China and saying,
"We can't go backwards." And
Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John Jackson's going to stick with us into the 9 o'clock hour as well, taking your phone calls throughout, 406-294-0970. Let's see, we got some messages in here on our Montana Talks app. Okotoks in Laurel, best deal in 30 years, has a not-so-PC response to that, saying that's the tallest midget story there is how Okotoks in Laurel described that. But I guess, I mean, according to, you know, former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich, he made the point, when have Republicans ever gotten anything, at least in the past recent decades, out of these debt ceiling negotiations? So I'd be interested in finding out if there's another example in the last three decades that would show otherwise. Bob in Lewistown said this: Aaron and John, proof of a divided party. Democrats are on the same page, share the same talking points, and usually stand united. Sometimes I feel I joined a party that is divided and eats itself. You'll be bowing to Chairman Schiff someday, and unless we stop going along to get along, the opposition being united will win out. I do think there is something to what you're saying there, Bob, in terms of, you know, is it good for Republicans to not follow dear leader? Is it good for Republicans to have a healthy debate? Yes, but at some point, you got to get the job done. At some point, you've got to unite. But that's why my question is why didn't Republicans stay united behind the bill that they just passed 1 month ago? I still think that's the biggest question that Speaker McCarthy needs to address here. Nancy in Roundup says, hey, I still stand with Kevin McCarthy on the debt ceiling bill. Despite what John just shared, there's many good things in it. He stopped more Democrat spending over the next 6 years. She says that after 2 years, when we take back the Senate, then we can make even more cuts in the budget. McCarthy did not cave. He is a shrewd negotiator. Let's go to Tim in Billings. Tim, great to hear from you.
Good morning, gentlemen. So you were just talking about how when these people campaign, they take the moderate view if they're a liberal, and they do the ultra conservative view if they're a conservative, and then once they get there, they of course fold like a cheap suit and, you know, go back to the status quo. So for politicians, that's called the status quo or politics, but for the rest of us, that's called a bait and switch. And as voters, we just need to wise up and just, you know, we need to start primarying these people out and get them out of the system. Just it's time to stop putting up with the crap. And if they say they're moderate, or if they, you know, don't hold up their end of the bargain once they get elected, they need to be gone. They need to be recalled. They need to be primaried out as soon as possible. And it's time for the voters to actually get the people that they vote for, not the puppets.
Well, that's why I think it's important to find out who broke, who buckled, and didn't stand by supporting the package that they already passed. Yeah, Tim, great to hear from you. John, real quick, since I told our listeners I would mention something about it, and we've only got about a minute or so before our next break. So that radical leftist judge, Mike Moses, steps down effective July 1st, so about 1 month from now. He's the guy who's been forcing the transgender birth certificates. He's the guy who is, interfering in our election laws, undermining election integrity, so much more, right? Anyway, Governor Greg Gianforte has selected Thomas Partey to serve in as the judge after Moses stepped down. And I know Tom Partey. He's a great guy. He's a patriot. He's a military veteran. He served in the 163rd Infantry here in Montana. So I, for one, am going to be glad to see a patriot replace a tyrant on that bench.
Actually, I mean, one time, that's what we need, is somebody who, I mean, follow the law, not be some liberal hack wearing robes, which this guy Moses was just awful. I think he's the worst I've ever heard of in Montana.
Yeah, and it's pretty sad, too, because he's really trying to go out. He's trying to hold some of the Gianforte administration members in contempt of his court. And it's, I mean, you hate to say it, but I can't think of another analogy. It's the final squeal of a...
Dan, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking a question.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable.
Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.